This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wal aqibata lil muttaqeen, wa la udwana illa ala dhalimeen. Wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, sallallahu alayhi, wa ala alihi wa ashabi, wa man da'a bi da'watihi wa stanna bi sunnati ila yawmiddin, وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل والسمع والطاعة ويقول الحق سبحانه يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وابتغوا إليه الوسيلة وجاهدوا في سبيله لعلكم تفلحون. All praise are due to Allah, Lord of the worlds. And surely the best reward ultimately is for those who have taqwa. And surely there is no animosity or ill feeling except for the oppressor. And I bear witness that Allah is one, it has no partners, and that Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, is his servant and his last messenger. And may Allah always and constantly send peace and blessings to Muhammad, to his family, to his companions, and to all those who call to his way and establish his sunnah to the day of judgment. As to what follows, I begin by reminding myself again and you that we need to develop taqwa. We need to develop the consciousness of Allah. We need to develop that feeling, that understanding that will guide us as a light in everything that we do, not only around Muslims, but even around people of other faiths. Not only on special occasions in special months, but in every day of the year. The time that we are living in now is a very crucial one for Muslims on all different levels. It is a time where we feel, in some sense, that we are set back. And so it is a time for repair, for islah. Because it was the way of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions, when the times became difficult, that they would renew their relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. They would repair themselves and they would go forward in order to face the challenges that were in front of them. We are challenged as a nation all over the world. We are challenged just by the identity of being a Muslim. In some cases, it puts us in a war-torn situation. In other cases, we find social pressure, psychological pressure. We are challenged as communities. At this point in our history, tribalism and nationalism has reared their heads again. And many of the communities base themselves more on their tribe than they do on the brotherhood of Islam. This is a challenge. The same challenge the Prophet ﷺ and his companions faced, who came out of a tribal-based society, but overcame their national, linguistic, racial difficulties. And they bonded themselves together to be the brotherhood of Islam that set the foundation for Muslims to the day of resurrection. We are challenged also individually. Many are challenged physically with health problems. We are challenged economically. We are challenged socially. Some feel they are not accepted. But this challenge is really a hidden blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is historically in the time of difficulty that Allah azza wa jal enabled the Muslims and we made the right choice and we revived Islam. And so in these times, these critical times now, we turn back to the book of Allah azza wa jal. And we find in Surah Al-Ma'idah, in verse number 35, Allah Azza wa Jal gives us a divine formula for success. How to make islah, how to make repair in order to gain falah. Al-islah lil-falah. How can we repair ourselves in order to gain success in this life and the hereafter? In this mighty verse, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, O you who believe, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah wabtaghu ilayhi alwasila. Allah begins by saying, have the consciousness. Have consciousness of the Creator. Have the consciousness of Allah. Don't forget Allah in anything that you do. And seek a wasila. Seek a means of coming closer to Allah. And that wasila is a crucial issue for us, especially in the time of darkness. But the verse ends by saying, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And strive and struggle in His path in order that you would make success. And so the divine formula, taqwa, the consciousness of Allah, seeking a wasila, a means of coming close to Allah. What is a means of coming close to Allah? Seek it. And then when you get it, that's not the end. Strive. Strive and struggle. Face the challenge. Face the difficulty. And then there is falah. And so in this light, Allah Azza wa Jal, in this critical time, has blessed us with the coming of the month of Ramadan. And Siyam Ramadan is one of the best of these wasail, of these means of coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reports that and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal lama hadara Ramadan qad ja'akum shahrun mubarak iftarad Allah alaykum siyama. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the month of Ramadan now came in, it was in now on his companions, he said, a blessed month has come upon you. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made compulsory that you fast, that you engage in siyam, imsak, during this month. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the doors of paradise will be opened, and the doors of hellfire will be closed. And the evil jinn, the evil demons whispering in our minds, destroying our thinking, making us feel we are inferior, we cannot go forward, we don't have a future, they're locked up. So this is barakah. This is a true blessing, that the doors of Jannah are opened, hellfire is closed, the spiritual air is clear. And then the Prophet ﷺ said to his companions, فِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهَرٍ مَنْ حُرِمَ خَيْرُهَا فَقَدْ حُرِمَ. He said, in it there is a month better than 1,000 months. Whoever is deprived of its blessings is truly deprived. And so we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the coming of this month. And this might sound strange to people outside of our faith, to our colleagues and friends at school and on the job and our neighbors, looking at the time of year. These are the longest days in the northern hemisphere. Looking at the temperature, summer is about to come in. This is strange to them. And one would think if we wanted to reform the religion, if we wanted to come up to modern times and to reform it and take control of our religion, why don't we just switch it to December? Switch it into the coldest time of the year with the shortest days in order to facilitate ourselves. But the thinking of Muslims is the opposite. The thinking of Muslims is submission to the will of Allah first, and then our own minds and thoughts second. And amongst the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, there were a few of them. One in particular, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, who used to say amongst the most favorite things that he loved to do. And you might ask yourself, what do I love the most in this world? Most people would start talking about food, or they'd start talking about getting a new car, or taking a trip, or a new pair of shoes. What did Ali radiallahu anhu say? He said, I love most to fast on a hot day. That's what I love the most. That I will hold myself back in the heat. Because in his mind, his imsak is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And knowing that the ajr, the reward from Allah azza wa jal, is greater during that time, then he wants to please Allah. That's the most important thing to him in his life. And so that is the thinking of the Muslims. And again, it is strange for those on the outside. Because those of us who fast realize that theoretically it seems difficult. But once we come into it, it is a barakah. It is a true blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us to control ourselves and to put off normal hungers that people have during this time. But some might look from the outside and say, no, I think you people, you must be fasting for political reasons. It's a hunger strike. Because you're angry now, because the world is talking against you, so you're going to do a hunger strike. All the people, all the Muslims everywhere, just stop eating until people leave us alone. That's not the reason. Other people might say, well, it's the summer season, and if you don't eat food during the day for 29 or 30 days, then for social reasons, you'll be able to wear the tightest clothes possible. There will be no jeans that you can't fit into. You will look good physically to other people. That's not the reason. Other people might say, you want to make repentance. You want to harm yourself, punish yourself in order to gain forgiveness. If you beat your body, as in some religions, if you punish yourself, kill your desires, then you get closer to the creative spirit. That's not the reason why we are fasting. It is not social reasons, not political reasons, not medical reasons. But Allah Azza wa Jal has told us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, la'allakum tattaqun. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed on you as it was prescribed on those who came before you in order that you would have taqwa. There it is again. In order that you would have the consciousness of God, to fear Allah, to hope in the mercy of Allah, to keep your duty to Allah. There's so many meanings in this beautiful word taqwa. And so that is the essence of the fast itself. And that is the gem. That is the gem that we are seeking in this month. Because in gaining this gem, we will actually gain the ability to resist what is happening around us. We will actually gain the ability to understand things in a better way. What is the fruit of the taqwa? Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in Surah Al-Anfal, verse 29, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تتقوا الله يجعل لكم فرقانا ويكفي عنكم سيئاتكم ويغفر لكم والله ذو فضل عظيم. Allah tells us, if you, O you who believe, if you have taqwa, if you have the consciousness of Allah, then Allah would make a criterion for you, furqan. And He would wipe away your sins, forgive you, and Allah is the possessor of great bounty. And so this beautiful verse again shows us the power of the Quran to reveal information which can be understood in special times and in special circumstances. And so as we seek the taqwa in this month, as we seek the gem of the month of Ramadan, Allah tells us, if you get this gem, you will gain a number of things. Number one, you gain a furqan. Number two, you will gain a kafara. Your sayyi'at, your minor sins will be forgiven. And you will also gain maghfirah. And the scholars tell us here, maghfirah means your major sins will be forgiven. So in the same verse, Allah tells us He will forgive as-sagha'ir wal-kaba'ir, the minor sins and the major sins. When a person truly develops taqwa, and this is a great bounty for the believers, but the beautiful gem of the word al-furqan, Allah will give a criterion to separate truth from falsehood, to separate darkness from light. We will be able to see properly what is happening around us. It's like a person in a dark cave and somebody gives them a light, and they are now moving in the cave and they can see what is happening in front of them. They can make the right decisions. And Imam Shawkani rahimahullah, in discussing Al-Furqan, showed us that not only will that give us the criteria, but the criterion itself will give us thabat al-qulub wa quwwat al-basair wa husn al-hidayah. This will give us a strengthening of the hearts. Thabat al-qulub. That our hearts become strong and solid. And that is crucial today in the situation that we are living in. Two, quwwat al-basair, the ability to see inside of things, a basira, a type of insight. So we can look through the issues, and if something happens to us, we don't react to it. They cursed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't react to this. This is ignorance. And it has been done before, and the Prophet ﷺ is protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with basira, we look into the situation and realize that what is happening to us is for a reason. It's because who we represent. And we should be proud of who we represent. And finally, husn al-hidayah, the best of guidance. And we dearly need this at this critical point. But the Imam rahimahullah added on something as well. He said, these qualities will give you a najat. It will give you an escape. Min kulli ma takhafuna. You will be able to escape from your fears. To escape fears. And so by holding ourselves in this month, by truly carrying out siyam in its proper way, inshallah we can gain strengthened hearts, good understanding of what is happening around us, and our fear can be taken away. The fear of the dunya, the fear of the system, the fear of money, the fear of death, that inshallah can be taken away from us. But we have to do this properly. We need to look into ourselves. Our fast is not only a physical fast. It is not just staying away from food and drink. And the Prophet ﷺ said, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ سِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعَ وَرُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهَى. There are some who fast and get nothing from their fast but hunger. And there are others who sleep, who get up in the night, and they gain nothing but sleeplessness. So what was he saying? He was saying there's something else other than hunger. It's something else. Again, islah. Repair ourselves. Repair. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in speaking about this month and the beauties of Islam, told us, As-salawat al-khams, wal-jumu'atu ila al-jumu'ah, wa ramadanu ila ramadan, mukaffiratun ma baynahunna, idha jtunibat al-kabair. Rawahu Muslim. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, your prayers, your five prayers, one to another, your Jum'ah to another Jum'ah, a Ramadan to a Ramadan, can wipe away the sins in between those time periods if you stay away from major sins. Ijtinab al-kaba'ir. So there's something else to this. Staying away from major sins. And we need to study al-kaba'ir. We need to study it and start to reform ourselves. Islah. Repair ourselves not to fall into these major sins. From amongst them, in general categories, because al-kabira is described by the ulama as being something prohibited by Allah Azza wa Jal, or through the words of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, something which has a wa'id shadid, it has a terrible promise. It has punishment in the next life. These is the kabira, min al-kaba'ir, major sins. And Iyad ibn Himar, radiallahu anhu, reports that the messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, during a lengthy khutbah, he was making a long khutbah. And inside of this khutbah, this is the gem we take from out of it, he said the translation of the people of hell, there are five. He mentioned five categories of people. The weak people, meaning weak-minded, weak, psychologically weak people, who lack the power to avoid evil. So they just follow anything. Take them to the right, take them to the left, just do it. They will follow society. When in Rome, do like Romans do. Weak people. These are some of the companions of hellfire, well, iyadu billah. Number two, the carefree who pursue everything, irrespective of whether it is good or evil, and who have no concern for their families or their wealth. The carefree person, just do it. They do anything. They just choose anything. They follow anything. They pursue anything, with good or evil. It's just something to do. They don't care about their families. They don't care about their wealth. This is another category. Three, the dishonest people, whose greed cannot be concealed, even in the case of minor things. Greedy, dishonest people. Number four, and those who would betray you in the morning and the evening with regard to your family and your property. And in the fifth area, he mentioned misers, people who have money and they don't give in the path of Allah. Liars, people who are telling lies. And those who are in the habit of abusing people and using obscene, foul language. This is reported in Sahih Muslim. And so these are some of the areas of Islah that we need to repair ourselves. And this month, alhamdulillah, is one of the best opportunities to develop inner strength to resist evil. To be serious in choosing good over evil. To be concerned for our families. To be honest. To not betray the trusts that are given to us. To not withhold in the spending, to tell the truth, to guard our tongues, and to guard all the limbs of our body. This is a great opportunity for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the strength and the ability to make it through this month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the strength and the ability to stand up in the night to pray to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this month a source of unity, a source of forgiveness, a source of the raising of our status in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal, and forgive us ultimately for what we have done, for we know not what we do. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب استغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأصلي وأسلم على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد يا عباد الله اتقوا الله حيثما كنتم fear Allah wherever you are and know that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has told us إن لكل أمة فتنة وفتنة أمتي المال. Every nation has a trial and test. Trial and test of this nation is wealth. وَيَقُولَ الْحَقُّ سُبْحَانَهُ مُخْبِرًا وَآمِرًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُسَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وارض الله عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبو بكر عمر عثمان وعلي وعنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. ربنا تقبل منا. ربنا تقبل قيامنا وصيامنا. ربنا تقبل قيامنا وصيامنا. ربنا تقبل قيامنا وصيامنا وأعمالنا كلها في شهر رمضان. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. عباد الله يرحمكم الله. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقم الصلاة.